This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, I have a special guest here in the studio with me, Sue Kochman, whose books I admire, a wonderful, wonderful writer of children's books, and we're going to be talking to her throughout the hour. I also wanted to mention that I had planned to have Bill Larson here today. He is, of course, the legal eagle for Joy on Paper. He comes in once a month to talk to you about all of your legal questions when it comes to copyrights, contracts, and all of that kind of stuff that you need to know. So, unfortunately, he can't make it in today, but I will reschedule him. And I just wanted to remind you that, you know, I have had so many writers on this program who have had legal problems. Some of the biggest writers have had some of the biggest legal problems. As a matter of fact, one of the writers, if you've listened to my interviews, he was in such a big lawsuit, a $100 million lawsuit, that in order to continue the lawsuit and to fight the lawsuit, he had to put up $10 million cash bond. That is a lot of money. As you can imagine, he's one of our biggest writers, but it was still, you know, for him, it was a lot of money to have to put up, and he did, and he won the lawsuit more or less. But whenever there's a lawsuit, of course, it is the lawyers who make most of the money. Now, if you don't want to get into trouble, it is always great to have a lawyer working for you from the beginning, before you get sued or before you have to sue somebody. Now, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson here in St. Petersburg, and now they've expanded into Tampa, are really great. And the nice thing about Bill is that he is a member of the American Intellectual Property Law Association. Now, intellectual property is a very, very difficult field of endeavor. It is very complex because the contracts are very complex, and particularly if you're dealing in selling book rights to movie companies or to television companies, boy, oh boy, we're talking complex. And you want somebody who knows what they are doing. And Bill Larson certainly does. And he is just a wonderful, wonderful person to work with. He loves authors. He loves to make sure that you actually don't... lawyers like going to court, but Bill really likes to protect you from ever having to go to court. So he's a wonderful resource for you and somebody who he gives a free consultation for and will actually walk you through doing your copyright correctly. When you're hiring somebody, you want somebody in the field. If you're going to be writing a will, you're not going to hire a real estate lawyer. And if you're going to be opening a candy store, you're not going to hire somebody who does real estate. So you really, really want to make sure that you have the right lawyer, and Bill is the right lawyer for you. He's been mine for a long time now, and I am very grateful for the work he's done, not just for copyrights, but he is also my patent lawyer because I have 4 patents, and he's a great lawyer. And if you have an idea and you want to have it patented, he's a great resource because before you go on to Shark Tank, have you ever, Sue? Hi.
Hi.
Well,
good morning.
Here's Sue sitting next to me. Sue, have you ever thought up a good idea for an invention?
You know, I probably have, but I don't always know which way to turn. So it's really good to ask a lawyer. And I did use Bill for my trademark for my monkey.
Yeah, yeah. I know. And he's a wonderful, wonderful guy and lovely to work with. So if you are thinking about, writing a book, if you haven't written one before, or you have, especially if you have something that is marketable, like a character in your book, like Sue does, and her delightful monkey, Sam, then it is something that you really have to think about protecting with a trademark. So I'm going to talk in a little while to Sue about what she's up to and all of the exciting things that are happening to her. But first, I'm going to go to an interview. I want to talk to Kimberly McCrate. Now, she has a trilogy that she's been working on, and we just got the second book out today, May 2nd, and it is called The Scattering, and it is part of her Outliers trilogy. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Kimberly. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, well, I am on the phone with Kimberly McCrate. I'm pronouncing it right?
Yes, McCrate.
McCrate. Okay, let's start this again, Kimberly. This is a day. Okay. Hi.
That's okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, I am happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Kimberly McCrate, who...
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Kimberly, it is fantastic. The new book, of course, is called The Scattering. And, I was thinking about you this morning. I was thinking, wow, Kimberly must just get up every morning and sort of dance around the room in joy. Because you are having an amazing experience with this book and with the trilogy that this is the number two of.
Yeah, no, it's been a great experience. And, I had two adult books before The Outliers, and it took me a long time to sell those books. I had many, many, four unpublished manuscripts before I sold my first book. So everything that happens now is just kind of like a dream come true.
It is quite amazing. I have to tell all the listeners that, you know, they always, every writer dreams about this, but that you are now having your books optioned by Hollywood. I think Reese Witherspoon's company did Reconstructing Amelia, right? Which was an absolutely fantastic book. It was an instant bestseller. And then now with this trilogy, you are just doing so great. The first book in the trilogy was The Outlier, and I know that was an instant bestseller, and gee, it must be so exciting for you.
Yeah. No, it's actually Nicole Kidman and HBO optioned Reconstructing Amelia, and Reese Witherspoon and Lionsgate optioned The Outliers.
Okay.
It's been great. Yeah, they did. To make the New York Times bestseller list. Honestly, I'm still amazed when I see my books in bookstores. to make the list is an amazing gift, and I feel very lucky about that. And the idea of having your books optioned, I mean, I'm a very, not only do you have the opportunity to reach a much wider audience, but I'm a very visual writer. So to be honest, the idea that I could sit next to somebody and have them share the same experience that goes on inside my head is, that's really remarkable. So obviously to be able to see any of them actually on the screen would be incredible.
Well, you know, that what you said about being a very visual writer, you do, because when your books are so easy to imagine when people are reading them, and it's quite amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I do very much kind of sit there and watch the movie of it, and then have to transcribe it really back to a book and try to capture what I'm seeing in my head. So it actually makes the process of writing, though, just really incredibly escapist. And what's interesting is I know that not all writers experience it that way. I have a very good friend who's a novelist, too, and she hears the story rather than sees it. And I think that's really interesting just to see how the creative process works for different people.
Well, now, you said that it took you a long time to become a success. Of course, you were a lawyer, probably are still a lawyer. It's funny, I've had so many lawyers lately. I've been interviewing one lawyer after another who have gone into writing, and I said there must be something in the nature of your minds that you find, the ability to write. I suppose partly it's being able to organize your ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously lawyers write a lot. It's a very verbal profession, but I do think there's something about I know that I use the skills I learned as an attorney very much in structuring mysteries, because, you know, basically when you go to take a law school exam, I only practiced for like 3 years, but I did practice as an attorney, and I quit to write. You know, that was my, I left that work so that I could try my hand at selling a book. But when you go to do a law school exam, you have to argue both sides of a problem. You have to argue this side and the other side. And I think when I go to write a mystery, I do that. I find myself doing that, meaning I'm going to go down one path and I think, what would the reader think? Would the reader think this other thing or this thing? Like, you know, I see both sides of the argument. And in terms of creating kind of red herrings, that's a big thing. The whole idea of a red herring is a big thing in law school exams. Like, there'll be facts in a problem that are red herrings. And so you learn a lot of these things through the process of going to law school.
Well, I think that's why the people who have read your books, and I noticed that, like with The Outlier, people were saying, well, it's a page turner because we don't know what's going to happen, and we're, you know, really anticipating the next step. And so that definitely comes through in your writing.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I hope that you feel that sense of suspense. I know that's something as a reader and a viewer of anything that I really enjoy, and really enjoy this feeling at the end. What I'm always trying to do is kind of get you to the end where something happens and you're like, oh, I didn't know that, but I could have, or I should have, or, you know, it was possible to know that. I feel like that's the most satisfying reading experience, is when it's something you could have figured out if you had only looked at it differently.
Now, with this new book, The Scattering, as I said, it's a second in a trilogy, and I assume, certainly because of the first book, The Outlier, you left cliffhangers there, so you knew in advance that it was going to be a trilogy.
Yes, I sold it as a trilogy. I had always conceived of the story in three parts as a trilogy.
Yeah, that's good, because that way you can plan you can plan for that, because I've had a few authors who wrote one book and they sort of left it, and then they realized that, oh, I could have made a trilogy of that. And so they it's a good thing when you plan well in advance.
Yeah, no, it certainly helps in to knowing when to reveal information, because actually what's interesting is in an early draft of the second book, I gave too much information at the end, and I realized, wait a second, that actually belongs in book three. So you really have to, like, I knew there was a book three, and sometimes you pull things back, but you have to see the whole book sometimes first before you realize that.
Well, tell us a little bit about the storyline in general, and now in this new book, of course, we have Wiley and Jasper, and they are in the woods of Maine and following a dangerous search for one of their friends. But tell us a little bit about your characters.
Yeah, so Wiley is is set in present-day Boston. Wiley is a troubled teenage girl who's always struggled with a lot of anxiety, but she's in a particularly bad spot when The Outliers book one opens, because her mother has died recently in a car accident. So she's really kind of spiraled. And further complicating matters, her ex-best friend Cassie texts her at the opening of the book and says, Wiley, I need you to come find me. And so Wiley has to rely on Cassie's boyfriend Jasper, who she doesn't like, and the two of them head, following Cassie's text, they head north into the woods of Maine, and pretty soon when they're on the road, things go from bad to worse. And when they finally find Cassie, what's actually going on is not at all what they expected. And so the books are really, first and foremost, this kind of page-turning mystery about a girl overcoming her fears and going after her friend, but they also have a speculative element about the untapped power of intuition. So book two opens up kind of with the resolution of what happened to Cassie and, you know, where is she and what's really going on, again, which isn't what they expect. And then once you kind of understand that it has to do with what it has to do with, the second book really explores the impact of kind of what if there were this discovery about the untapped power of intuition, and it just was something girls could do. What would that mean for the world, and how would people respond? And I think it's a little different than a lot of books like dystopian books, which look at the world after something has happened. This really looks at what happens at the moment it's changing. What does the world do?
So now, of course, you planned this as a young adult work, and did you find this a challenge to, you know, as opposed to a more adult book?
You know, I think that the biggest challenge for me with this book, with the first two, is that they're from a single point of view. My first two books, and actually every book I had written the unsold ones were from multiple points of view. And that's just a certain kind of storytelling. And particularly with mysteries, I think it enables you to hide places when you have multiple narrators, because certain people, you know, character A can know something that character B doesn't, and you can give information through character C. And, you know, it's a way of kind of peeling back a mystery. In these books, I had a teenage character in both of my first two books, so the voice wasn't as complicated. But to be able to unfold a mystery when you don't have any place to hide, when you only have that one character, you have to give information because, again, you want the reader to be like, oh, I should have known that. So you have to give them information. So the question is, how do you get it in? So I found that a challenge in the first two books. But I think the way you become a better writer is when you confront, you know, those kind of challenges. So, and interestingly, book three has multiple narrators. It has Wiley, but it also has some other narrators. So it was interesting to do that again.
Well, now you mentioned that, of course, you had written for a while, and you had rejections, I assume?
Yes, many rejections, yes.
And
it was...
How did you finally find an agent? Was it through a query letter?
Yes, it was just, you know, really, actually, my very first agent, I found with the help of a friend of mine, a very dear friend from law school who is an entertainment lawyer. But that agent, you know, did try to sell the very first book I wrote, but didn't sell it. And then I had another agent that I got through straight query letters. And then I got my current, she was unable to sell, I think that was book three, I can't even remember now. And book four was in the hands of yet a third agent who remains my agent today. And she didn't sell that book. And so I had to write another one. And that other book I wrote became Reconstructing Amelia, and she did sell that book. So, I have to say, though, that despite that I kind of had the connection with the first agent, helping me get my first agent, I found all the other ones just through querying and following. You can find agentquery.com is a great website that gives all sorts of names of agents. And, you know, to some extent, it is a bit of a numbers game. And I think people looking for an agent really have to know that not only is it a numbers game, but it's also a different than writing a book. And I think you have to kind of make your art and make your book and then like put that hat down and put on a different hat that's like, I'm now a salesman. And I'm going to sell this book and find an agent. And it's a different part of the job. And so I think you have to look at it differently.
Well, that's great advice for my listeners, because I do meet authors who give up after like query number six. And I say, oh, no, you can't do that. You have to keep going. And as you said, you wrote books, and then finally, you have an agent who can sell one that you write specifically again to, I guess, maybe with some advice on and learning experience from the first three, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you definitely get better over time. I think writing is a craft. And that's another, I mean, listen to feedback. I think that would be another important piece of advice, because if you get feedback, whether it's an agent rejecting you or a publisher rejecting you or anything, like it's like a gift. If they give you a piece of feedback, they say, I didn't like this because of this reason. And a lot of times you'll find, that's why you talk about numbers like six agents. I probably queried in the neighborhood of 100. Because, first of all, those six agents, they could have all left agenting, or they could have a full roster of clients, or they could represent a book that's just like yours, and so they're not going to take on your book. So it is a numbers game. Like, you have to, you know,
exactly.
If you query 100, you know, maybe 50 or half of them maybe you're even accepting clients. You know, so you really have to do that, and you have to take the feedback, and you have to be willing to work and, like, get better and listen to what people are saying, because nobody can get better in a vacuum.
Well, Kimberly, you have certainly gotten better, and you are getting better all the time. And it is, I just can't imagine the excitement of working with two of the most wonderful actresses in Hollywood, Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman, and to be able to see your books come to life on the screen. This is going to be fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm looking forward to book number three, which will come out, I'm sure, sometime in the not-too-distant future, and you'll have to come back, and we'll have to talk also about the premiere of the movie.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That would be wonderful.
Okay. Thanks so much, Kimberly. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye for now. Okay. Well, that was fun. I really enjoyed talking to her, and I'm so thrilled that here in the studio I have with me Sue Kochman. We're going to be talking about her books and about her plans. And also, as always, I have to talk about her son because I adore him. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY, and Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543, promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guest, Sue Kochman. We're here in the studio, and we're going to be talking about Masons, This and That Day, a really delightful book that she has written. I love this book. Every time I read it, it puts a smile on my face because it is exactly the type of book that I know kids will love. Sue, I really like this book.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me here this morning too, Patsy. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always fun to talk to you. And this book, which really, I think, empowers children to, and parents, that there's so many things you can do.
You mean besides being on the computer and the video?
And the video. And, you know, writers, of course, all of us, we are multitasking people. You have to be. As Kimberly McCrate said just a few minutes ago, she has to do so many things besides writing. You have to, as a writer, you have to do this and that and more of this and that, from working on building a social media to attending events to building up a whole world of people that will support your book and books every time they come out.
Yes, and Mason's This and That Day, I wrote that because we are also multitasking all the time. And being a former teacher, everyone wants to label children with, oh, they're hyperactive or they've got some kind of disorder. He's just a nice, normal, healthy, little, inquisitive, curious, unique little boy. And all the things he does during the day are things that I would love to see kids do today.
Yeah, well, it's true. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know, I suppose, I mean, they had no idea about of ADD or any of this thing because we ran wild. You know, I'm from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And from the moment we open the screen door in the morning, isn't that a wonderful sound, that screen door?
Yes, that's
it opens
squeak.
And it slams behind you. And we would have a bag full of peanut butter jelly sandwiches. In those days, a mason jar full of Kool-Aid, and we take off. And I don't think my mother didn't really expect to see us until dinner time, certainly not lunchtime, because we'd be running wild. We'd be all over town. We'd go visit the post office. We'd go visit maybe Hazel's at the little store. We'd go running up the hill. We'd find all day long.
Uh-huh.
And we did this and that, and we had so much fun.
Yes, and Mason is that type of kid, and he rides his bike everywhere. And something happens with his bike that makes another situation where he has to deal with, and he sits down under a tree and he enjoys nature while he's waiting to figure out what he should do with this situation that happened with his bicycle. I don't want to give the story away.
No,
I really
don't
want people to read it. But yeah, he's just a good kid, and he just keeps changing his mind. He's a typical little boy. He's also got a little friend in his pocket that he carries around that just may happen to be another character coming out in another book in the future.
Ah.
We may use that as a lead on.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a fun story. It's a really cute story. And without giving a whole lot of it away, his mom winds up being a little bit like him that he realizes at the end.
That's right. And encouraging him and not discouraging him, which is so important. Children have to be encouraged to just seek out what interests them. Because one of the things I hate so much, I think so many things are put in the way of kids really enjoying, like they have to read certain books, but kids should really read the books that grab them. And then if that book leads them to another book, it becomes, for me, my life has been one magical book tour. I start with one book, and then I think of that one, and I want to know the next story. I want to know the next story. And it fills your life with joy.
Absolutely. And kids need to have to relax. They need to learn to, like you say, enjoy. They'll learn about characters in a book. They'll learn if the character, is this character like me? Is the character not like me? Why is that? They're learning some thinking skills there, critical thinking skills. I love picture books. And I want to tell you a little story. I was reading at a school a couple of weeks ago, and I was a little disappointed. A little second grader came up to me. I was reading my book, and she thought it was a baby book because it was pictures. And she says, well, I read chapter books now. And I thought, how sad is that, that we're always pushing chapter books on these kids before they're ready. They're growing up to, oh, I have to read a chapter book. I'm not knocking chapter books. I think they're wonderful. There's a place for all of them. But in my books, with Love from Grandpa in particular, that was written for third, fourth, and fifth graders, even though there's lots of pictures in it. It's an illustrated book for upper grade kids. And a lot of our struggling students need that kind of support.
Well, having really learned how to read from comic books, I'm a very picture book person. And I love picture books. And I love books with pictures in them, even when they are these chapter books of where, I don't know when that word came into use. Yes, you have to graduate from you can't have kids' books, now you have to read chapter books, and then next thing you have to read. Yeah, people should read what just grabs them. That's my opinion.
Read everything.
And I was sitting here during the commercial, and I reread Mason's This and That Day, and my lips are moving as I'm reading. Now, my lips don't generally move anymore when I'm reading, but just automatically, because I could... In my mind, I could hear the words. You have such a nice way with words, and it just flows so beautifully that it calls out to be read aloud.
Thank you. And I enjoy watching you and the expressions on your face when you're reading it, because I didn't know I did my job.
Well, you did. You did. And now you have an event coming up here at the Seminole Community Library.
Yes, I do.
Tell us about that.
Yes, the Seminole Library, the CAP campus of the college over there, is May 4th, this Thursday, at 6:30 to 8 p.m. You don't have to stay the whole time. People usually just wander in and out. There'll be some refreshments, and there'll be door prizes. And I'm really hoping I can get a lot of teachers and teachers of young children and parents. They can bring their kids. We'll talk about the book. We'll talk about some of my other books. And the door prizes that I give away are usually supplies and things for the classrooms. I like to do that. I like to make it fun.
Well, certainly as a former principal,
yes,
of a school. Which school was that?
Well, I was the principal at Madeira Beach Elementary, which is now Madeira Beach Fundamental.
And she knows about supplies and how much fun it is for kids to get school supplies.
Yes, and of course there are supplies that would help and encourage them to want to write or draw or create.
That's wonderful. Well, I think this is a wonderful event, and it's going to be May 4th, 6:30 to 8 p.m., right there at Seminole Community Library, and that's down on 113th Street, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. 9200 113th Street North in Seminole.
Okay, great. Well, you know, you are, since I first met you, almost over
eight or nine years.
You have really developed into a very, you're expanding, you're getting better all the time, and it's exciting, isn't it, to be a writer?
It's very exciting, and you do get better all the time. Like the young lady before me, the craft of writing, it never ends. And I actually took a writing course over the last holiday, which was extremely helpful. I think we can always learn new things every day.
Well, I mean, that's one of the fun things about being a writer. And we were talking earlier about Mary Higgins Clark. Now, Mary Higgins Clark has been on this program 3 times, and she's going to come back again soon. And what she always tells me is that she just loves writing. I mean, and she just enjoys it. Her stories, every time one of her books comes out, I have to read it because I know it's a treasure. Really, her books are a treasure. And she's, 89 years old, and she still keeps writing. And her books are still as fresh. As a matter of fact, I always say to her, I don't know, you're getting better all the time. So, that's the wonderful thing about writing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And then it's also wonderful to meet all these authors and read their material and see how much of their personality is in the story.
Exactly.
To me, that's really a lot of fun.
Well, it is
fun. Are they really like this or are they really not? Kind of, ooh.
Well, it's fun to get to know them. And I love hearing the stories about what have moved them. And for example, like with Kimberly, she was talking about rejections, 100. So 100 query letters, and some people give up. And I, as a matter of fact, I have known a few really good writers recently that I have talked to, and I've read their books, and they gave up too soon. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot be a great success as a self-published author, because there are many, many self-published authors who are great successes. But what you have to do, if you want to do it yourself, then you really have to put a lot of effort into it. Now, even with the big publishing houses, they help. I mean, they do a lot of wonderful things for you. One of the nice things is that they're generally speaking higher quality printing. So a wonderful publishing house like Zonder Kids that does children's books, when they publish a book, it is the quality of the paper, the quality of the covers, everything is top-notch. And that really is wonderful for an author. As a self-published author, especially with picture books, it's more difficult to get one done, at a high level. So it is worth trying to get an agent. But either way, you have to put that time in. You have to put that effort.
Mm-hmm. And I first started out wanting to write as a hobby because I retired from being a principal. I was in education for 32 years. I had an illness that, thank God, I recovered from, and it made me look at life differently, and it made me think about what else do you want to do? What's the next chapter going to be like? And I thought, writing those kids' books was always important to me, and I wanted to self-publish because I wanted to learn how to do it. And after I've done 4 of them, and quite successful in let's say, this level in the area, they're in a lot of the schools in Pinellas County, and there are some in Alaska from people I know that bought. I thought that was pretty cool, and some overseas, too, in Europe countries. But I think what I've learned the most is that you keep the creative piece no matter what. So whether you're with I thought that if I went traditional right away, they might tell me what to do and what not to do. And I wasn't there yet. I had a mission I was on, and I wanted my stories to be realistic fiction type things that were interesting to kids. And I wanted to do them my way. And so now I'm realizing that it's really been fun, but now I'm so busy with so many things in my head, I can't keep producing the books that I want to produce if I don't have help.
Exactly.
So I am looking for a traditional publishing company now. Well, because I need the help.
Yeah, they are helpful, and then you're working with really professional editors, and all of it just makes the flow so much easier.
Yes, and their advice that they give is good advice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you can find an agent is worth their weight in gold. You don't have to put your agent on a diet because they are worth their weight in gold if they can get you a deal. Now, for example, Barbara Powell from the Irene Goodman Agency, I call her the instant girl because so many times she will find a book, she will find an author that she likes, and then Barbara will turn that writer into an instant New York Times best-selling author. So Barbara is definitely worth her weight in gold, and anyone who could get her will be very happy. But that's what happens when you're out there trying to find an agent, because agents, you have to remember, agents want to make money, but they also want to promote books that they're proud of. They take such pride in the books that they bring out, and they love when they can have a book that touches people's hearts, especially when it comes to children's books.
Yes, and self-publishing is great too for some people, and it's been wonderful for me. And Mason was done by the Word Verb Company out of Georgia, and I first met Janet Fix, the publisher, here in Florida, and she did a phenomenal job helping me with things. And she's the first person, if she's listening, she'll hear this now, right? She's the first person I took advice from with something, how I worded something in my book with Mason's this and that day, and it was really good advice.
Well, that's wonderful to know. Speaking of if she's listening, I want to remind everyone that really one of the easiest ways to listen to this program or to any radio program is to put TuneIn app. It's called TuneIn. It's an app you can put on your phone, and you can set an alarm, and it will notify you when your favorite radio programs are on. And in my case, it will tell you at Tuesday at 11 o'clock and Thursday at 11 o'clock that Joy on Paper is starting, and you can listen right there on your phone. So no matter where you are, you could be walking around in the grocery store and just put on your earphones, or actually you can broadcast it, and everybody will say, what are you listening to? And you say, Joy on Paper. So it's really a wonderful way. And also, if you're just sitting at your computer, automatically you'll hear the program. So it's really a wonderful thing, and it's called TuneIn, and it's a great app to have.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah, it really, this is progress. It makes
you always have to run home, because remember, you're doing this and that all day long, right?
Yes, yes, you are doing this and that all day long. And of course, quite a few of my listeners are listening in the car, and I love that. I was talking to somebody who works for Bright House, which is, I don't know, they changed their name or whatever, but a driver who listens, as he's going around to fix people's cables. And so it was so sweet when he said, oh, I listen in my truck. And then I have somebody in the I know she's listening right now. And she works for the light company, and she drives around in a truck too. And then when my program comes on, because she is a sci-fi writer in her spare time whenever she has it, and so she just parks her truck and listens. So sometimes if you see an electric company truck parked there on the side, and you say, what are they doing? She's maybe listening to Joy on Paper, which is really sweet. So hello out there to you know who. It's just so wonderful to be able to bring to people authors. And as I mentioned, earlier, one of the things is I speak to so many authors, and I love to know the story behind their book. I just love, and I like to know them. I think it helps when you know about a person, if you know an author, and the author becomes almost a friend that you want to look forward to reading their next book. And now in Sue's case, I have a very special connection to Sue because I love her son. he is he's so good looking and recently married. And he is what I really love in this world, a first baseman. Casey Kochman has been in Major League Baseball for many years now, and he is just, he's gorgeous and a first baseman. And when I was a kid, my father used to take me to the Tigers games, and we lived in Detroit, and we'd go to all the games. And my father would take me out of school because in those days we had still games during the week, and we always sat behind first base. And I love that position, because you have such a wonderful view of the game from first base, just behind first base. And one of my favorite, of course, is that you always get, well, first of all, first basemen are so often so handsome. I don't know if they purposely put the really good-looking guys there. And I had in the back of my mind a song about first basemen. I don't know if there is a song like, oh, I love a first baseman. I love how he stands. Oh, I love his tight uniform. No, we'll stop there. We'll stop there. Right there. But there must be a song in that. Somebody should write a first baseman song, don't you think?
Sounds like it could be a plan.
I think so, because it is cool. And, of course, you get to see all the guys who steal bases. And
every play.
I love it. I love it. And my favorite is Lou Brock, who stole so many first bases, and was a wonderful, wonderful. You'd go to the game just to see Lou steal a first base, steal from first base and get there to second. And so, I admire baseball players. I love baseball, and so I love to have Sue in here.
Oh well, thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, and of course, my son, I love him too, and I think he's a wonderful ball player too. Still in good shape. Still ready to go.
Always ready to go. Baseball guys are always ready to go. There's nothing like the sound of that.
Crack of the bat.
We just love that. So, so knowing something about Sue, and you also have a daughter.
My daughter, Crystal.
She played softball. Yeah.
Yes, she did.
Did you play?
I did not play. In those days, am I dating myself? In those days, you had to be a cheerleader because you really weren't allowed in sports. So I was a cheerleader. Not to put down cheerleaders. It was really fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I don't think I would have had the endurance to be an athlete. To see how hard they work all the time, working out and staying in shape and eating properly. And I don't think I'd be that dedicated. You know, I don't think I would have been a good ball player.
And you look like a cheerleader. You still look like she looks so young. It's hard to believe that.
I'm not
even going to say how old she is, because she looks. I'm telling you, she looks just like a cheerleader. And she's dressed here in a lovely summery dress. And I'm telling you, she could just start cheering, I think.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
So that's what I love to know about writers and get into the. You know, just making readers, you know, as a reader myself all my life, I've always been interested in writers. And so that's why it's actually come as a complete surprise to me that I'm doing a radio show about and being able to talk to writers that I never would have dreamed of talking about to. You know, it's just quite amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's so true what you say about the emotional depth of a writer. It comes from the heart, and there's usually a story behind or an emotion behind what is the springboard to that book. Same thing with kids' books. And sometimes, like with Love from Grandma, we talked about that book a while back. With Love from Grandma was written at a time when my mom passed away. And my daughter, Crystal, we just mentioned a minute ago, she was very close to my mom, and so was my son Casey. But my mom did so many cool things with them, baking cookies and playing games with them and those kinds of things. And then when she passed away, of course, they were older. But I thought of the children in my school who were elementary school children being raised by grandparents for very many reasons. And I thought, this is their mother figure. They're going to have to learn to deal with death at a very early age. And that's what was the springboard to that story with Love from Grandma. And it's teaching kids to deal with death in a positive way and find the fun memories to get through those difficult days, which we all have. But it's so hard when you see little children go through that. And sometimes you don't know what to say to them.
Well, exactly. And your books are very, very sensitive, because you yourself, and if anybody looks up Casey in Wikipedia, there's a mention there in the bottom that you went through a very harrowing life and death situation. They have to update this wiki page because now they have to add that you're a writer.
Yeah, where did she go from there, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a mercy of God that I'm alive today. And I, like I said earlier, I wanted to do other things with my life that at that point in time, I probably would have never given my career up because I really liked it. But now it's like, okay, well, I really like this too. And I can do it on my own time and spend more family time and you know, go out with friends and really be a part of the community. You know, I would do service club stuff and things like that, which is really fun without all the pressure, you know. And I still do a lot with schools, especially the schools where I know people that want me there. And we're dealing with a lot of tough issues in society today. So I want my books to be a realistic fiction, but I want them to be enjoyable stories for the kids that they can take something away with and learn something from them. I just think it's really important that we make them think and give them, it's okay. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to think about this. It's okay. I'm an okay person. I'm going to be fine. And when you go through a death situation, I think your whole perspective on life is different. It's not that you weren't appreciative before, but I think you're like really thanking God every day now. It's important.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for kids to see that you did something, you know, with that situation. Like when I see people in the community, they'll, oh, Miss Kochman, how are you feeling? Or, you know, and I think that's really wonderful. But they see, I've bounced back. I'm fine. You know, you just one chapter down and future to go.
Exactly. Now, speaking of the future, I understand you're working on a website.
I am.
Finally, because I kept saying, where's her website? Where's her website? Nowadays, this is one of the things. As a writer, you know, you have to do social media. You have to do this. You have to do that. This and that. And, of course, one
of the things. Yes, my daughter Crystal's a marketer. She graduated, and she's a marketer, and she has her own event planning business now, and she's starting a new one with toasting to different special experiences and having delicious meals. I don't know exactly what's going to be happening with that yet, but she's the one that usually helps me with Facebook. People can find me on Facebook. She and her husband, Carmine, set up a page for me where you can actually buy my Sam T-shirts and my books and things like that. But she, she also said, Mom, you need a website too. And you told me that, so I went ahead and bought my domain. So hopefully this summer coming, it's going to be Sue Kochman, thisandthat.com.
Oh, I think that's a great name. That's going to be easy to remember. And I think, you know, you have so many things to say to people. I think it's going to be fantastic.
And my head is always floating all over the place with what I want to do or what I want to create, a book or T-shirt or another item, novelty item that goes along with the book or whatever. I like the interaction. And I'm thinking I need something that's going to be broad into this and that
category.
Would be a
that's
perfect,
right.
Yeah.
Yes, you can put links to things and
yeah.
things for people to buy.
Yes.
And they can start with the Sam T-shirt because Sam is a wonderful character that you developed. And tell us a little bit about the Sam book because that was the first book that brought you in here.
Yeah, Sam is about a little monkey, and I always loved monkeys. I thought they were so cute, the way they kind of look at you, you know, and wiggle their little fingers. And I was teaching second grade at the time. They wanted us to teach dental health to the children, and I thought there weren't very many books on dental health in those days. So I just used this monkey, Sam, and it's about a little monkey that can't say no to his friends. The peer pressure is in there, and he eats a lot of candy. And something happens to his teeth.
Uh-huh.
And so he's wise enough to go to a dentist and fix it. And the dentist fixes his tooth up. And then he goes out and does something else to and for his friends. He's a very giving, again. I want him to be a person or a character that learned something. And now he's fixed it. And now he's giving back to people.
And he's sharing what he's learned.
And everybody likes Sam. Every time they look at, that monkey's face is so cute. So, yeah, my son told me, Mom, you probably need to trademark that one. So I did. And it's done and it's ready to go and it's on T-shirts.
Yes. Well, I think it's really delightful and it is a wonderful thing to know. For all of you who do have a character that you want to protect.
Yes, and he's also going to have sayings with him. Sam, the first one was just smile. But now it's smile surfs up. Smile, it's a new day.
Okay.
Smile, believe, and achieve. So there's a lot of other little slogans that go with me that some of my teachers helped me come up with.
Oh, I love the believe and achieve.
Yeah.
Isn't that
so,
nice?
I mean, like if schools want to order them, they can put their school on there and use it too. And so we'll see where that goes.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see that.
But it's happy.
Yeah. That's it. That's part of the deal of being a writer. In this day and age, you have to get out there. We can't all be Jane Austens and stay at home and not talk to anybody and not go out there and interact. Jane really didn't like to interact with people too much. Did you know that Jane is going to come on my program?
No.
Yes.
That's going to be really
I've invited
nice
Jane Austen.
Awesome.
And it's a little bit difficult to get her in, but Big Ed in the control room is going to come out with a way that we're going to bring Jane Austen back to life right here. And I'm going to interview her. And so that's going to be really exciting interview, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So that's sometime in June. I'm going to have Jane Austen with me here in the studio.
That's fantastic.
That's something to look forward to. Because when I lived in England, I bought a cottage in England not far from where she lived, and because I was a great admirer of hers. And so I know a lot about her, so I'm going to talk to her. I decided she had to come and visit. And we're still trying to figure out the special sound that and music that will draw her in through the ether. And Big Ed is going to do that. So anyway, Sue, so great that you're here. As soon as your website is up, you let me know. And
I'll tell everyone.
Meanwhile, everybody, again, reminder, on May 4th, 6:30 to 8 p.m., go and come meet Sue there at the Seminole Community Library. A little refreshment and some books, and it's fun. And I want to also just say that I've got some wonderful authors coming up, and one of them, when is he coming? I think next week. Is it next week? Justin Scott. Yes, next week, Justin Scott, for his 30th anniversary. He's an absolutely amazing writer, and I'm so looking forward to having him in. And Sue, make sure that you say hi to Casey.
Okay. I will. I will say hello to them, too. And also on May 7th, which is Sunday, I will be at the Oxford Exchange Book Fair in Tampa.
Ah.
So for the Tampa buddies, they can come over there, 9 to 4.
Okay.
Oxford Exchange.
Absolutely.
Another good time.
Yeah, that is a great time. And I'll mention that again. Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful location. So you're having fun.
I am having fun meeting a fabulous group of people.
And remember that... I had one author who did selfies with one of somebody who came to a book fair, and that person sent her selfies out to everyone in Afghanistan and Iraq, all of the soldiers, and next thing she knows, she sold 22,000 books.
Oh, so, wow. Do you mean I need to take a selfie then?
Yes. So take selfies, authors, take selfies, because you never know when you meet somebody who really is social media crazy and gets you out there. So
yeah, thanks again so much, Patsy, for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, it was fun to have you in. And everyone, say something nice to somebody today. I'm going to say something nice to Big Ed because I love the way he salutes me. Hey, Big Ed in there. I want to be a drill sergeant. I love it when he does that. Anyway, have fun, write, and enjoy yourself, and have a great day. I think the weather is nice all over the country, as a matter of fact. So just read a book today or start writing, because remember, if you write a page a day, in a year you're going to have a novel, right?
Yep.
Or in your case, you might finish that nonfiction book about your life.
Yes, that would be a challenge.
Okay. So you're working on it. We'll have Sue back again soon. Anyway, meanwhile, thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye.